The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And it's 8 a.m. Central Time here on this Thursday at the Power Hour. National Preparedness Month, if you didn't know that. It is. It's an observance each September to raise awareness about the importance of prepping for disasters and emergencies that could happen anytime. Obviously, if you live in an area that is prone to disasters like hurricanes, earthquakes, all that good stuff, you know that it could happen anytime. There are certain seasons for it to happen, but, you know, the tremor or two, those could come and all of a sudden the power goes out and various other things happen. You're stranded. You have to have a way to survive. And see, one of our partners here at the Power Mall is Heaven's Harvest Emergency Survival Food and Clayton Llewellyn. Welcome back to the show.
Dave, thanks for having me.
I understand now that the organic kit has arrived and all the food is non-GMO, organic, and made in the USA. We didn't expect anything less. You guys do some really quality work down there. And how does it stand out? How does your food stand out from other survival food companies?
Well, Dave, the thing is, we did it different than how everybody else has done it in the past. And I'll be honest with you, the only reason I've done it different is because I ordered other food in the past. And when it showed up, I was disappointed at what I got. What they told me was a year's supply of food. Turns out it was only about 6 months worth of food. Nobody regulates serving size in this industry. And a lot of these companies tell you, you know, you need 3 servings of food a day. You know, a breakfast, lunch, and a dinner. The only problem is they don't tell you that serving size may be a tablespoon. So when we were kind of getting ready and prepared for things, you know, we ordered stuff. I wasn't happy with it and decided I was going to do this on my own. So that's when we started Heaven's Harvest, and we're a little more honest about what's in the bucket. And, you know, if this is the kind of thing that you don't get a second chance at it. You know, if you need this stuff, you need it. You know, it's not, well, I didn't quite get what I wanted. Next time we'll do it different. Well, that's not the way it works. That's not how it's going to happen. You know, you need to make sure that you've got what you need when you need it.
Right. So the thing is that you studied serving sizes and the calorie counts and the fact that, you know, when you combine that with stress, fight or flight, the immune system and the nourishment needed to keep things running in the human system. And this is the thing. I've done this with other companies before I got introduced to you guys. And you were right about the fact that, you know, we see a lot of these drink mixes, chocolate pudding. You know, I like the banana chips. Trust me. Those are really good snack. That's really good snack food, honey-coated banana chips. But then you talk about, and you talk to other preppers out there, and they're talking about rice or beans. And when you see a lot of these kits come out, and here you have what looks like filler food. You guys don't do that.
That's all that rice and beans is. It's a really, really inexpensive filler. And they can add it to the bucket, make the bucket feel really heavy, like you're getting a lot of value there. And at the end of the day, you've bought rice and beans. You could have bought at Walmart for pennies on the dollar. So we avoided all that. Didn't want to do it. So, like I said, that's where we've gone differently with our meals and our kits.
Right. And of course, the thing is that people could, you know, they look at their factor. Well, we'll just can foods or we have a dehydrator. And a lot of people out there are dehydrating foods. Well, your process is different. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah, all our stuff is freeze dried. And again, there's nothing wrong with dehydrating. I mean, it's a lot of fun for the family. Dehydrated food obviously doesn't last as long as freeze-dried food. When you dehydrate something, you know, you remove 90% of the water. When you freeze-dry something, you remove 100% of the water. And in the freeze-drying process, it's kind of like the flash freezing, they figured out back in the day, is a really, really good way to preserve food and, you know, preserve the nutrients in that food. So freeze drying is kind of the same thing. It's such a fast process that you don't lose the nutrients and the vitamins and the minerals and all that in the food that you do when you dehydrate something. You know, and there's nothing wrong with dehydrating. You don't get the shelf life of freeze dried food, but if, you know, I heard you say something earlier that, you know, if you live in an area where you're, you know, prone to floods or hurricanes or storms or earthquakes, like, Dave, I'll be honest with you, I think we're all living in an area right now where we're prone to disaster. I mean, this country is a wreck right now. I mean, it's a wreck. Like, our dollar is absolutely worthless anymore. You know, we're going to be fighting Russia before too long. It looks like we're going to be fighting China. I mean, this is only looking like a World War III scenario. So I think we're all living in an area that's prone to disaster. But like I said, the dehydrating process, if there's something happens, you still need food to dehydrate. You're not going to be able to go to the grocery store to buy food to dehydrate. Most people don't even know how to grow a garden anymore. We've become a society that's so reliant on grocery stores or the government to take care of us. If something happens, millions of people are going to starve to death.
That's sad. And see, this is one of the reasons why Heaven's Harvest sells the Heirloom Max seed kit and the vegetable seed kit, so that people can get a green thumb. So this is one of the reasons we have Heaven's Harvest as a partner, because we are all about solutions here and we care about the safety and well-being of our listeners. So the thing is, and people that shop, they've been shopping, they understand the concept of freeze-dried foods, but then they look at the price tag and go, whoa, what's the difference here?
Well, I'll be honest with you, we do get that a good bit, but for what one of our buckets will do for a month's worth of food, you're going to pay maybe not a whole lot less than going to the grocery store for something that's not prepared and packaged for a survival situation. It may seem like a lot up front, but when you break it down, it's really not that expensive. And like I said, we've put high-quality foods in these buckets because this isn't something you want to chance. You know, you can go buy cheaper products. I'm not going to deny that one bit. But you're getting a cheaper product. You're getting something that's not what it says it is. I mean, if that's a chance you're willing to take, tear it up. It's not a chance I was willing to take with my family.
I understand that completely, sir. And here's the thing. The entree bucket, for example, one serving from that bucket is $2.49. Now, I want everybody to, before you start chomping at the bit, I want you to get out your grocery receipts of the last four times you went to the store. Some of you are going to the store more than once a week. Some of you are stocking up. You go there every other week and you stock up and you buy extra. You know, canned goods only last so long. The shelf life on those things is only a couple of years. So whatever you're doing, take your grocery bill and look at what you're spending and then compare that, break that down, total the entire list. And if you're eating three meals a day like the government wants you to, if you're doing that, break all that down and take the total, because everything, including all the prep, all the broth, all the flour, all the prep food that you need to make a gravy or make a soup or whatever the case may be, add it all up. And I'm talking about the storage containers too. Add all that in, because that's all part of the process, because you will need a storage container, obviously, which is why they have buckets. They have all their kits in buckets, and they've already thought about that already. So you're not having to go out and buy more buckets unless you want to. We have what's called a water brick, which can be used for long-term storage, and we'll get to that in a minute. But compare the grocery bills to what Clayton Llewellyn is talking about here, and you're going to find almost a parallel. Would that be a fair statement, sir?
Absolutely. It absolutely is. And like you just said, the cost of our servings, let me know if you can go to a restaurant and eat a meal for that much. You know, let me know if you can cook food tonight for that much. This, in the grand scheme of things, it's not really expensive. It may seem expensive, but if you break it down over the month, it's probably a little less than what you're paying for groceries right now. Be honest with you, I don't think groceries are going to get any cheaper.
Oh, no. No, they're not. And, of course, this stuff is ready when you need it. I've used it before. It's wonderful. Love that broccoli and cheese soup. Of course, now, having peace of mind when the situation is dire is priceless. So, you know, we have a this six-month combo kit is out there for those of you that want to invest. Again, get your bills out and look at what you're going to spend over the course of 6 months at the grocery store, and then you'll understand why this six-month combo kit is worth the investment, because this will sit on the shelf for 25 years. It's freeze-dried, all right? We're there to ensure survival in a crisis. That's why we're talking about it. It is National Preparedness Month. And I'm just looking down the list of all the products we have here. But before we get to that, I want to talk about these water bricks for a minute because I really think I need to start investing in a four-pack. And if things are getting too cluttered in the closet, folks, we've got a new system here. They're BPA-free. You can store water in them, but you can also store food. Clayton, I'll let you elaborate on that.
Yeah, no, you absolutely can. And yeah, I'll be honest with you, to go back to water, that's one thing nobody really thinks to that's one thing that nobody really thinks about. You know what I mean? Like, you can live without food for a week or 2 weeks. You can only live without water for a couple of days. And most people don't have access to that water. You know, we're so used to being able to just turn on a tap and get water whenever we need it. And David, like, I've really been thinking about this the last few weeks, like, I don't want to say how pathetic, but really how pathetic we've become as a nation. I mean, we look at third world countries that, you know, and we think we're above them or beyond them, or if something catastrophic were to happen in this world, the United States and these developed nations are in trouble. I mean, we're so reliant on water coming out of a pipe or being able to buy our food from a grocery store. I mean, it's just, and I hate to say city folks, but I mean, how many folks living in the city can't take care of themselves without government assistance or without, you know what I mean? They don't have the ability to grow a garden. They don't have the ability to hunt. I mean, it's really scary, the situation we've put ourselves in. But back to the water bricks.
Yeah, go ahead.
But back to the water bricks, a lot of people don't think about storing water. You know, we're just used to turning on a faucet. Well, I mean, most people don't even know how to catch rainwater. So these water bricks, they're 3.5 gallons. It's a great way to store water. I don't keep mine full at my house. I mean, we've got access to water in the streams and stuff. But I know when I lived in Florida and we were you know, preparing for a hurricane, it was awesome to be able to tell my wife, hey, go home, fill up 10 water bricks, stick them under the bed. You know, I've got 35 gallons of fresh water sitting under my bed that if we need it or the power goes out or, you know, the water's tainted, we've got something to drink. We've got something to cook our food with. You know, we're good to go. And there's also the filters there. You know, again, they've got filter bottles now. The technology with that stuff's incredible. You can dip water out of a mud puddle, filter it, and have something to drink. I mean, that's a simple thing to do, a simple thing to stick in your closet. I mean, how many households out there right now can't filter their own water if something happened? You know, there's a great bottle on there now that it's $100, but that could be your lifeline if something were to happen. And you don't have to go buy it. If you got 10 people in your family, you don't need to buy 10 of them. Buy one. Buy a couple filters. You know, I mean, we're not sitting around drinking water like we're sitting at a bar at night. You know, it's something to have there. If you need to filter it, you can.
Makes sense. Eric in Nebraska, you are on the phone with Clayton Llewellyn. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was wondering, are those freeze dryers expensive? Can the individual afford those? And also, say you had about 35 acres of tillable ground. How would you go about using that? I'm kind of geared for large farming with the machinery I have, but, you know, I was thinking on my own stuff, maybe got to do something better.
But the freeze dryers, they are expensive, but they work good. It takes the quantity you get out of them. I mean, you'd spend most of your day freeze drying food to to try to keep up with a family of four. I mean, it's a slow process. The freeze dryers we use are big commercial ones. We can put a couple thousand pounds in these freeze dryers at a time. The little ones are nice, but again, if something happens and the power goes out, you can't work that freeze dryer.
Okay, and what about, say, 30 or 40 acres? Say you had that on your own. How would you utilize that acreage, tillable ground?
Man, I'd just, one of our seed kits. If not one of our seed kits, somebody else's seed kits. But I'd have heirloom seeds ready to go.
You mean all, you know I mean? All edible? You wouldn't raise, like, a few cattle or whatever? You put it all in edible food, not livestock feed?
Man, my thing with cows, if something bad happens, and we get this question a lot, and we get this, you know, people wanting to, I don't want to say argue with us, but, you know, we get it a lot where people say, well, I don't need this stuff. I live up in the mountains, and there's 500 deer in my backyard every night. Well, if the power goes out, how long are you going to be able to let that deer last? How long is it going to last on the shelf for you? You know, again, you can dehydrate it, and you're out a couple of weeks, but when the whole town starts hunting deer because there's nothing to eat, how long are you going to have that food source? A cow. I don't think cows are a good option for a survival situation. Quite honestly, I think goats are a better option. You know, it's a small, if when you slaughter a goat, you've got, you know, 30, 40 pounds of meat you have to contend with. You kill a cow, you've got 800 pounds of meat you have to contend with.
Okay, well, goats taste about like deer, so I guess it's about the same.
Yep. And goats are a lot safer than cows. You know what I mean? People get killed every year from cows. You don't get a lot of people killed from goats. So in a survival situation, I'd rather have an animal around me that I know can't kill me or really hurt me that bad.
All righty.
Appreciate that, Eric. Thanks so much. You know, these are legitimate questions, all right? Legitimate questions that you have. The phone lines are open, 844-769-2944. Have Clayton Llewellyn on here. We are talking about Heaven's Harvest food kits and why it makes economic sense to buy them and store up food, because that rainy day could come sooner than later. So now, on these Max seed kits, heirloom seeds, and you really should take the time to learn how to reharvest them, because that's why they call them heirloom, because of the fact that, one, they're high quality, two, they're foil wrapped in individual packages, three, when you finally do grow them, they grow well, but you only want to plant one variety in a given area. Otherwise, you're going to have cross-pollination. That's going to kill a lot of the heirloom potential. And when you finally do get what you need, you can actually take the seeds out of the food that you pick from the garden and use them again. That's what this is all about, right?
Yep, absolutely. A lot of the seeds you buy today from your big box stores are not heirlooms. They're GMOs or the hybrids. So if you try to use them the following year, they will not grow, or they will revert back to one of the two parents if they're a hybrid. So they're not good seeds in a survival situation. But you know, big business knows this. That's why they've done that. You know, you've got to come back every year to buy the seeds.
Wow. What I really like, though, is the fact that Eric has 35 acres, 40 acres of tillable ground, and because he's in, you know, one of the breadbasket states up there, I mean, seriously, I look at that and I go, wow, there's a truck farm waiting to happen. I mean, seriously, yeah. he could make money from that truck garden, reinvest it into his proceeds into freeze-dried food. It's like, you know, trading one source for another of something that's as valuable as what he's growing. And he can also can and put stuff away for the short term. So I see a lot of benefit to having the acreage. I don't want to demean it in the process of our conversation here. Everybody's concerned about survival. All right. We're talking about the long-term. We're talking about stuff that you, I guess, Clayton, you've said it on the show before about hoping that you have it and not need it, then need it and not have it.
That's the truth.
So what's up with the, do you have to describe how this ventless spigot works on your water bricks?
It's just a spigot for the water bricks. It kind of works like I hate to say the gas cans of today do, but you know, it's, you don't have to vent the top of the brick to get water out of it. And you only need one of those.
Yeah, you screwed the spigot on. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, yep. They've okay. got it. The water bricks come with a cap, and, you know, if you buy 50 water bricks, you only need to buy one spigot. There, you can move between, you know, between water bricks.
Okay, and now as far as recommendations, you don't want to put any of this stuff, these water bricks, on cement. A lot of people have garages with cement floors.
Yeah, the cement's hard on things. I usually keep mine inside the house. Again, you don't want to keep any of your survival stuff in a garage if you can avoid that. Most garages aren't temperature controlled. So especially in the winter, if you live up north and you fill them with water, you're probably going to end up with busted water bricks. I try to keep all my stuff in a climate-controlled environment to where you don't have big fluctuations in temperature, you know, where you're going from, you know, if you're in Minnesota, negative 10 in the wintertime to, you know, 110 in the summer. That's hard on anything. So I try to keep all my stuff inside, you know, around 70 degrees all year.
Right. And now you can stack these things five bricks high, right?
Oh yeah, they're interlockable. They kind of work like Legos. You know, pretty much same concept as a Lego. So you can lock them together, stack them up. They won't tip over. It's a really good design.
But you can fill these things with grains and rice and beans and all the other filler stuff we talked about earlier in the show.
Yep, they work great for your beans and your rice. Anything. We've put like our first aid kits in them, you know. Huh. And again, we go to Walmart and buy that stuff. It's the best way to do that. But you can go there, you know, get tweezers and gauze and Neosporin and all that stuff. And we've thrown them into water bricks. And one of them we use as our first aid kit.
Wow. But I mean, the thing is that you put desiccant crystals. That's what they call these oxygen packets that suck the oxygen out. You know, if you're going to use them for grains, rice, and beans, you basically want to use the same food storage guidelines that you normally would with these water bricks. So it's one of the things that we wanted to point out here on the show. Now, with the time we have remaining, I'm kind of curious as to, I'm looking at the Harvest 104 serving breakfast kit. Very reasonable at $1.76 a serving. I guarantee you go to any diner or restaurant, you're going to pay way more than that for a breakfast.
I'll tell you what, if we've only got a little bit of time left, we added a new bucket probably 6 months ago, and it's a one-week kit bucket. It's got just over 10,000 calories. It's $109. And again, think about, that's a week's worth of food for $100. I can't eat for $100 a week.
Oh, I know. Well, the thing is, my grocery bills are running about that right now. So, and that's for just two of us. So I'm looking at, this is comparable.
Yep, it absolutely is. And again, this stuff has been freeze dried. It's already prepackaged in individual package in Mylar foil bags. You know, this isn't a cardboard or a plastic bag you're buying from the grocery store. This is high tech stuff. I hate to say it's what NASA sends the food to the moon in, but it's the same material. This is a really good kit for the value.
Well, it is. And you need, you know, this is the thing. Power Mall is open right now and you can buy through the Power Mall. Or if you go to Heaven's Harvest, well, I mean, we sell it. Just go to the Power Mall and get it. That's the easiest way to do it. This is one of the reasons we know and we trust it, because we've tried it. We like it. And, you know, I wouldn't recommend something I haven't tried myself. So now the protein booster kit, this is a 132 serving. And see, we got so many people out there. And this is the thing, we were talking about farm to table. Jeff from North Carolina called earlier, wondered about this mRNA, modified RNA contamination of the meat supply, which we're already seeing it in chickens and pigs and whatnot. The protein booster kit basically should be, according to this, it's 132 servings. And it includes beef, chicken, eggs. Can you elaborate a little bit?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, that's protein's kind of one of the things that we all take for granted. There's a lot of nutrients in beef and chicken and eggs that we can't get from plants. You know, I'm sure we've all seen the vegetarians that aren't very good vegetarians, they look sickly, it's because they're missing certain proteins that you get from meat. So meat's one of those things that it's, in long-term survival, it's essential. Now, I'll tell you, as of right now, this bucket does not contain any mRNA vaccines or any vaccinated cows or chickens in it. I know they're pushing that. They're pushing it hard. I read an article last night where they're trying to put it in shrimp now.
Yep.
So it's coming. We're all going to be, unless we can figure out another way to do this, we're all going to be vaccinated here soon.
Not a good thing.
Not a good thing.
No. So anyway, so we're putting this together as a survival entree kit to add to the essential amino acids and nutrients needed to maintain your health. And this is the thing, we told you already about this idea of fight or flight. And when you get in that mode, your stress level goes up, your immune system starts to weaken, and we're trying to prevent that, which is one of the reasons why we have Heaven's Harvest out there. You've got to find stuff to do. How about growing a garden? That's why we have the Max seed kits and the vegetable seed kits. Victory Gardens were big in World War II. Why can't they be big now? You have a lot of gardening activity going on in your family, Clayton?
Yeah, we do. We absolutely do. You know, and Dave, another thing to think about here is the fight or flight. If I'll be honest with you, I do believe something's coming down the pike, and I don't mind fighting, but I don't feel like flighting. At the end of the day, I want to be comfortable. I want to be home. I want to be in my own house. We have to know how to take care of ourselves at home. We have to know how to grow a garden. You know what I mean? I don't want to run off into the woods. I don't want to go live in a bunker. I want to stay home where I'm comfortable. I want to sleep in my own bed. So you need to look around your house and know that, you know, figure out what do I need to do to stay here at my house or to survive here for 30 days, 90 days, you know, 6 months. Like, what do I have to do? Like, you know, you have to have water. You have to have food. You know, the beautiful thing is you've got a lot of the stuff you need to survive at home right now. You've got clothes. You've got warmth. You know, can you heat your house if the power goes out? So like this is the kind of stuff that we need to think of, because face it, 350 million Americans aren't running off into the woods.
No, they sure aren't.
We live a couple hours north of Atlanta. And my thing is, if this gets bad, where's everybody? What's everybody in Atlanta going to do? You know, they're going to start heading our way. They're going to head for the woods, thinking that there's something here they can do. But at the end of the day, they can't live in the woods. You know, I mean, most people can't survive like that. I mean, some of the best survivalists barely make it 30 days in the woods. So I don't want to live in the woods. I want to live in my home. Tonight, when you get home, think about what you need to survive in your home. And that's what you need to start to get ready for.
There you have it. National Preparedness Month, and Clayton Llewellyn, it's Heaven's Harvest Emergency Survival Food. Ask about the organic kit. If you like organic, it's non-GMO, made right here in the USA, right here at the Power Mall, which is now open, by the way. 877-817-9829. Clayton, thanks so much for joining us and being a part of this National Preparedness Month segment.
Dave, thanks for having me.
You bet. Take care. Lucas Miles, we're going to try to get him on after the break, talking about woke Jesus. Stay with us.
And asked if they had a zinc product that they thought could help, and they did. Not only is zinc amazing for skin healing, it has helped with his neurological behavioral. Somebody is considering taking that zinc and copper, and if, you know, they have a child who struggles with behavioral or neurological aspects, what I found out is that zinc is critical for the natural creation of neurotransmitters. And if you don't have enough neurotransmitters, you can have neurological and therefore behavioral effects that you do not want in your child. Grown by Nature, zinc and copper formula, it helped us now figure out things that will help him for his future.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Come to the Power Mall today and purchase Mediterranean black seed oil from North American Urban Spice. Exclusively from the genetic source and never standardized. Cold pressed, it's so good it supports cardiovascular, respiratory, immune, digestive, neurologic health, and so much more. Said to be good for everything but death itself, come find the best prices on black seed capsules or 8-ounce varieties when you visit thepowermall.com. or call 877-817-9829 to purchase.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, everyone. This is Catherine, producer of The Power Hour. Not very many of you know that I suffer from an autoimmune disease, and one product that I depend on daily is Global Healing Center's organic plant-based selenium. Selenium is essential for optimal endocrine and immune function and for moderating the inflammatory response. Not only that, but this essential trace mineral plays a vital role in promoting a healthy thyroid, maintaining cardiovascular health, and supporting metabolism. This expertly crafted supplement is extracted from the mustard seed plant. It is vegan-friendly and highly bioavailable, ensuring optimal absorption of this powerful antioxidant. So whether or not you're dealing with an autoimmune disorder like me, or you simply want to boost your immune function, I recommend you try Global Healing Center Selenium from The Power Mall. It's available by going to thepowermall.com or by calling 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829.
Minutes after the hour of 8 a.m. Central Time here on the Power Hour. Dave Krieger with you. Thanks so much for joining us. And of course, as promised, we have Pastor Lucas Miles here, who's got a new book out. Handsome looking guy. He's on our video stream for those of you who are watching us in video. You can do that on thepowerhour.com. And also, you know, when we recast these things, and you can go to the Power Hour and link to any of our other peripheral sites like BitChute, Rumble, and Brighteon, and watch us on the live stream in your archive as well. You'll get the audio at least. There's a little discussion that we've been paying very close attention to, Lucas Miles. We appreciate that, you being on the show with us. You've got a new book out called Woke Jesus, The False Messiah, Destroying Christianity. And all I could think of when I saw the title was that song by Jesus Jones, Right Here, Right Now, because they're all talking about history and what's going down and how the world wakes up and everything will end in the blinking of an eye. And I mean, I'm just like, whoa, you talk about charged up. What was in these guys' head when they wrote the song? What was in your head when you wrote this book?
Look, I'd love to see the church restored back to historic Christian teaching, what we call Christian orthodoxy. There has been an attempt to hijack Christianity with the message of cultural Marxism. It has produced and really manufactured a false messiah that I call the woke Jesus that is completely antithetical to the true Christ that we find in Scripture. But he's being paraded all around this nation and really around the world as churches are being deceived by this. So I wanted to write a definitive resource for Christians that they could take this book, they could study it, they could learn really the difference about the Christ that we see in Scripture and this false manifestation presented really by the radical left.
Okay, so now before everybody's going to be sitting there going, hold on, I got to get a pencil. So I'm giving you fair warning. We're going to tell you where to get the book, all right? It's by Humanics Books. They put it out. What formats does this book come in?
Yeah, so you can get it at a hardback. It's also available as an audiobook, and then, of course, kind of a Kindle, you know, reader version.
Right, all right. So hopefully, and I've told everybody, you know, you need to, because this show is all about solutions, you need to have pen and paper at the ready so you can write this information down. Can you get the stuff at like Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com,
all of that? It's available wherever books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, ChristianBooks.com, or you can head over to LucasMiles.org. You can order direct from our website as well and see some of my other titles there too.
Oh, wonderful. So you've got other books out. Now, you also have the Lucas Miles Show. Is your focus entirely on this subject matter, or do you...
No, so I didn't want to ever wade into this political culture war stuff, but really felt, I mean, I don't think any of us did, right? But you know, there wasn't a choice. I'm from South Bend, Indiana. I watched the regime of Mayor Pete Buttigieg, and I watched him parade around kind of using Scripture as propaganda to support, you know, open borders and divergent views of sexuality. And I saw a lot of the churches in my area start to go woke. And so started speaking out, probably pretty strongly 2015, 2016. We lost about 40% of our church at that time. I'm still a senior pastor to this day. We've since grown back just in this last year. We've probably grown four times. To the pastors out there who maybe haven't gotten into the fray, who aren't willing to talk about these topics, I would say, first of all, who told you that abortion is political? Who told you that marriage is political? Who told you that even sovereign borders are a political topic? These are first and foremost spiritual topics. We are called to preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. And so I'm traveling around trying to get pastors, you know, really into this conversation, into the fight, and really, you know, fulfilling their role in raising people up fully as disciples of Jesus.
Have you been asked to speak at like Clay Clark's Reawaken America tour and the Red Pill Expo and places like that?
So no, I don't know Clay. I was just with Charlie Kirk out at the Turning Point Faith Pastors Conference. We had about 1,100 pastors out there. I know some of the people on Clay's tour. I've interacted with them at different events, but I've never been on that. I also was just out at Andrew Womack's Truth and Liberty Conference in Woodland Park, Colorado. I had a great time out there. We had probably, 1,800 people at that event. So getting to go around and meet a lot of people, but, always looking for opportunities to be able to share this message with anybody who will listen and really create balance in the church, you know, as we avoid some of these extremes that are out there in our faith.
Well, see, and the thing is that I've had this issue with the church since the late 70s when I studied the Word for 3 years in a ministry. And I'm sitting there, the first time I studied this stuff, and folks, you may be going through the same thing right now, and I'm glad we got Lucas Miles here with us. You get conflicted after a while, and you start seeing, hey, wait a minute, all these things they've been saying to me in the past, or anything that I'm now hearing because of this woke Jesus stuff you're talking about, all of a sudden it doesn't make any sense. Because the Bible, you know, God commands you to study the Word. God commands you to understand what's going on, that everything is put where it is in the Word of God for a specific reason. To whom it was written, why it was written, where, how, and for what purpose, whether it's for your learning or for your application. And we walk in the Spirit here. We actually pray on the radio with people that are afflicted and conflicted. The thing is, you know, I got to meet people like Pastor Greg Locke, and this guy is like, you know who he is.
Yeah.
Greg Locke.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm amazed with the guy. What he does, and his church is like, during the lockdown, he's like, Sheriff, stand in the back of the room. I'm going. We have a packed house. We had to get a tent for 5,000. You know, he fed the 5,000, but it wasn't, it was spiritual meat. that's what I love about this. So, I mean, is that kind of what your mission has been? Similar to this, in getting people to wake up?
Look, I write in the start of the book, there was an early church church father, patristic father is what he's known as, named Irenaeus. And he identified in the first century church that the first century church really struggled to refute the heresy of Gnosticism. And so he wrote a book in the second century in order to help them understand it. He felt that they couldn't refute it because they didn't understand it properly. And I think I talked to the average Christian. They don't understand critical race theory. They don't understand Marxism. They don't know their history well enough. They don't even know, you know, the Constitution well enough or the Bible well enough to be able to debate these things and talk about these topics. So I really wanted to provide a definitive resource for people to be able to navigate these things. And I will say that, look, this is not a new problem. It's more extreme than it's ever been as far as some of the goofy doctrines. You have people praying to this woke fairy god and, you know, all these different things that are happening in churches in the name of Christianity. But there's been false ideology in the church for a long time, you know, on and off. I start in my book in the 1700s and show how after the Enlightenment, how thinkers in Germany specifically started drifting away from the miraculous side of God and elevating Jesus' humanity over his divinity. Hitler later eventually grabbed a hold of that. It was called the Quest for the Historical Jesus, was kind of that movement. And he used some of that those writings as propaganda for kind of the doctrine of the Third Reich. And so, but we're still seeing that idea today, this human Jesus, this great social justice warrior Jesus, rather than the savior of the world. And I think a lot of people have been deceived, you know, by elevating, you know, his humanity over his divinity.
So you go into detail in this book about woke, because we've had people call the show and say, well, I don't understand what the definition of that is. And it's like, it seems like if you can stereotype something, you know, you give examples. What do you do in your book to address this?
Yeah, so wokeism really is just it's another way of saying it's a facade for cultural Marxism. When you understand Marxism, you know, of course, you know, you can go back to Karl Marx specifically or Hegel before him for kind of the birth of this critical theory, which I break down in the book. But really on a simplistic level, it is a belief that there is some sort of systemic oppression, whether that be because of class, race, sexuality, gender, etc., that is keeping people down, and it pushes this idea of oppressor versus oppressed in order to raise up people to fight against the current power structures or perceived power structures for the purpose of creating chaos and eventually revolution. This is why there's all this talk about critical race theory and critical queer theory and these things. It's not so much that I think everybody believes in this or that they really think there's some sort of systemic power structure, but they know by getting people fired up about these things, it will break down this Western Judeo-Christian way of life and eventually lead to enough chaos that this communist utopia can kind of rise up from within. And I think that, you know, it is complicated. It's critical theory is meant to be complex. It's meant to confuse you so that you don't understand it, so they can slide it in while you're sleeping and looking the other direction and not recognize it. It created this Trojan horse called social justice, and that's one of the ways it got into the church.
Well, the other thing, too, is what's going on in today's times, not just in the church, but it seems like this progressive movement is gone full tilt boogie, and that includes Hollywood. Yeah. And they're in your face with everything. Now we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of The Exorcist, of the movie. And as I was explaining to the listeners earlier, when I was studying in the ministry in advanced class, the teacher was showing us the film, explaining about Legion, Beelzebub, and all the devil spirits. And people were freaking out, literally, because they believe you walk in the spirit. They go, look, if you would read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 and study the nine manifestations of the spirit, you would know that word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits are three of those nine manifestations. And when you walk, God will give you wisdom and tell you what is going on, because Christ could walk in and, who are you? I am Legion, and we are many. You know, and so, you know, now they got Reagan out there saying the same thing, you know, with spinning her head around and throwing up pea green soup and whatnot. But I mean, see, they're in your face these days. That's the thing. You notice that more and more, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, just for a little bit on my background, you know, in addition to being a pastor, I've worked in, you know, various media roles for a long time. I actually own a media company. We've produced multiple feature films. I've done deals with Netflix and other platforms like that people would be familiar with, family friendly and faith based content. And so I've had the opportunity to spend a fair amount of time in L.A. and Hollywood. I have a lot of relationships out there. I've been able to pastor and counsel a lot of actors that people would know their names, but I keep those things private because of just protecting them and everything else in their journey. But look, there's some people in Hollywood that are doing some amazing stuff, but there's certainly an agenda that's there. I remember I was talking to a casting director. This has been probably, you know, 8-9 years ago now, maybe even longer. And I was talking to him. He didn't know at the time that I was a pastor. He just knew me from this particular media project. And I said, hey, how's your day going? He's going, it's going great. And he just got out of a board meeting with the Casting Society of America. And it was the day that they voted that they were going to put some sort of LGBT, representation in every single picture that came out of Hollywood. They were determined that they were going to do whatever they could to kind of force that on there. And he was so thrilled about that. And not knowing my background, he's kind of boasting this to me. But I remember it was like a historical moment in my mind that this guy was the president at the time of the Casting Society in America. And, you know, nice guy, but, you know, worlds apart from my worldview. And he was so proud of that fact. And since then, I've seen they've been very successful in that, in pushing, you know, representation in almost every single film in order to, you know, really, manipulate the masses over time and wear people down to normalize this sort of behavior.
Well, and see, the thing is that this is now being rejected. I'm talking about the Bud Light syndrome. You and I both know what happened there. Yeah. Victoria's Secret, Target, all these places are now getting hammered with this stuff. Anybody that puts this tuck swimwear and all this other garbage out here, Victoria's Secret, we just had an article on today's news about it. They've taken almost a $2 billion hit in sales because they're catering to this. And the thing is that this people are speaking with their wallet, which is important, but the church, we're lacking somewhere. You've already picked up on that. What's wrong with what's going on in today's church?
I guess a couple things. So first off, I don't think that we fully understand what's happening with these woke corporations that are making these decisions. Look, it's not necessarily my expertise, my strongest area of expertise, but you know, I've been able to, you know, really benefit from guys like James Lindsay and Michael O'Fallon and other guys that have shared about these concepts. You know, I think it's important to recognize that these companies aren't stupid. They're not just making these decisions because they have some, you know, young marketing, you know, person who thinks this is a good idea. There are brilliant people at these companies. This is intentional. And there's got to be something else behind the scenes. And if you start looking at it's the Human Rights Campaign, which is an organization that promotes their CEI score, which affects corporate lending and all of these things and the money that they have access to, they have to have a certain corporate equality index score, which is basically how do they relate to the LGBTQ movement. And they have to demonstrate that by these commercials in these things. So they're willing to tank their company, even if it means tanking their sales, because there's some other benefit that they're getting on the other side. And I don't think we understand that fully. Guys like James Lindsay have called this, you know, it's really corporate racketeering. And until that's brought at a legal, you know, level bring that before Congress, it's going to be very difficult to push back against that in the natural. But in the spiritual, we have to keep changing culture. We have to keep ministering to people, impacting people. We need that kind of upward revival that brings the gospel to people, start changing hearts and worldview. And I believe that, you know, as in this nation, the policies that we make, the government, the elected officials, they are a representation of the people. We have the problems that we have because the nature of the average person in this nation has changed. And they've lost that Christian worldview. We could talk about all the politicians all day long, but they're really just a representative of the greater manifestation of the people that we have in this nation. So we have a lot of work to do on boots on the ground with the gospel if we want to see this changed.
Well, here's the thing about the gospel and what happened with COVID and all of these vaccinations, alleged vaccinations that they were doing out there and people. And I don't know, I talked to Leslie Mnookin yesterday on the show, and she said she thinks that the 220 million people that allegedly went out and got the jabs, that was overinflated, that they purposely did that so that it would make the unvaccinated, which is a lot of the Christian population that looked at this stuff, they put God first. And I've been saying on the show, all these people that went out there, they didn't put God first. They trusted their government to be their savior. And this is a bigger problem we have. And it's conflicted the church. Do you agree with that statement?
Yeah, 100% I agree. I think that, look, I'm unvaccinated from that standpoint. We stood against this. Our church, we closed for about 3 weeks because, you know, we saw this out, you know, let's make masks for the hospital. Let's get supplies for people. We did all the stuff kind of emergency mode the first 3 weeks trying to help out. And then I was like, wait a minute, something's going on here. And we opened back up. And, you know, we never shut down the church. We just went to live stream only. Fortunately, we already had that set up. But I stood up on the third or fourth week. I can't remember exactly when it was. And I said, look, I don't work for the health department. If you want to come, come. If you don't want to come, don't come. We're going to be here. We're going to do what we do every single week. If you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. If you don't, don't. You know, and if you need more space between you and the next family, then let them know, you know, but we're not going to micromanage that stuff as a ministry. We're going to treat all of you as big, you know, grown up adults here with your families that you get to govern your family and decide based upon your situation, what's best for you. And we're going to keep doing what we're called to do. And in Indiana, the church was viewed as essential, which was very helpful for us. I don't always agree with our governor, but I appreciate it with him on that. And we kept doing our thing. And look, I think a lot of Christians did not have a theology of what I would call a theology of body. They didn't understand the authority given to them over their body, how that impacts their faith, to even be able to make sensible arguments about a religious exemption. And so a lot of times they were just saying, well, I need a religious exemption. And people would say, why? And they wouldn't know what to say. They didn't have any scripture. They didn't have any thoughts about it. So actually in my book, Woke Jesus, I have a whole section on, I call it Parishes and Plagues, one of the chapters. And I look at how COVID impacted the church. And I give a whole theology of body and theology of conscience that you can utilize in order to really, you know, create a, I think, intelligent argument for a true religious exemption over these things if you're not comfortable, you know, with these mandates or the vaccines that we saw in the past and that we very well could see in the future if some people have their way.
Well, see, and the thing is that's one thing that if you're going to make that argument, you might be making it in court, because right now all these big pharma companies have had their liability, basically. They've got a shield over the top of them, courtesy of our Congress. Yep. And the thing is that, you know, you look at the stuff and it looks so intentional. Eric in Nebraska, you are on again with Lucas Miles. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I can relate to him saying, oh, like abortion is political. Could you say something in a Sunday school class and church pillar or say, oh, we don't talk politics here, you know, that type of thing. And but I don't know if you're the same guest that talked about a church can be a 801c3, or I think there's also in the – isn't there just a, you can just be a church and you're not bound by all these political comments?
Yeah. Eric, you can be like Cornerstone with John Hagee. He is not a 501c3. He is a for-profit ministry. And he has thrown IRS agents, as I understand it, out of his facility because he is not subjugated under that law that 501c3 corporations are. Thanks for bringing that up, Eric. We appreciate your call, and I'll get Lucas's thing on that. I want to throw another little monkey wrench here, and the government is now trying to infiltrate the church to get church members to rat on each other. Where are we going with this?
Look, it's concerning when you hear stories like this. I mean, we saw that you know, the FBI was putting people in Catholic, you know, churches in order to kind of, you know, monitor them and these things. The government's trying really hard. I should say this current administration is trying really hard to label evangelicals and Christ followers as radicals. And look, this is not the first time this has happened. This happened in Rome, too. This is why Rome didn't not like Christians because they worshiped Jesus. They didn't like Christians because they saw them as rebels. They weren't willing to bow down to the gods of Rome, and therefore they saw them as dangerous for that reason. And the church is the same today. We have Christians that are not willing to bow down to the god of big pharma, you know, to the god of statism, to the god of, you know, of the you know, alphabet, you know, mob. And it's that's scary for people because they are afraid of anybody that's not willing to submit to, you know, this tyrannical sort of push on the American people. And let me just say this about the 501c3 thing and ministries and things like this. I really think that it is a There are probably some pastors out there who, at fear of losing their 501c3, have been quiet. I don't think that's the majority, though. I don't believe that there's a lot of pastors hiding behind the pulpit saying, I wish I could speak out about this, but I'm a 501c3, so I'm just not doing it. I know tons of guys with 501c3s that have been bold. I mean, we've had all sorts of, you know, events in our church. We had a 501c3 in 2004, and it's never been questioned. And if the government tries to take it from me, they can have it. But I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. I'm not afraid.
Lucas Miles, thanks so much. The book is Woke Jesus, The False Messiah Destroying Christianity. Folks, you got to get a copy of it, especially because he put tips in here on how to address this situation with the jab. You want to talk to your relatives, especially the ones that say they're Christian, go to church, and then they went and got that thing ejected into themselves? Here's your chance, folks. Get that book, Woke Jesus. Lucas Miles, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks, Dave.
Oh, man, this is wild. Good luck with that book. I'm sure that a lot of people want to read that now that we've talked about it. In the meantime, folks, we will be back tomorrow with our Friday edition here on the Power Hour. Dave Krieger, God bless all of you. God bless the United States of America.
Health and well-being. Fortunately, there's a solution. Paratrex is a unique formula designed to help create an environment that's hostile to invading organisms. Made with a blend of herbs and other natural ingredients such as wormwood, which has often been used in traditional medicine as a dewormer. If unwanted organisms are affecting your health, Paratrex can help bring it all back in balance. Order today from thepowermill.com or call 877-817-9829. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products. And he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.